Okay, so Parami here again in Adisthana, and this evening I'm with Karunamaya and Nagabodhi. I've had the urge to sing Old Friends, seeing you two sitting there on the sofa. You know that, old friends, sitting together like bookends. Anyway, sorry, I don't know why that came into my head. But
Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel. Anyway, we'll forget that, but it's lovely to see both of you, because you are both old friends of mine, as well as of each other.
Two old bookends.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been doing these little chats every evening, and I've just really been asking people what the highlight of the day's been, what they've been doing in the college that day. And I was pleased to have the opportunity to talk to both of you, particularly because both of you are involved in training for ordination for people outside the UK and Europe. So Karunamaya, you're one of the main public preceptors involved in ordination training in India, is that right?
Yes.
And Nagabodhi, you're part of the CUA that looks at ordination in America and Australia and New Zealand.
Yes.
As well as in Europe from time to time.
Yes. Mm.
But I think it'd be really interesting for people to hear a little bit about how those how you work in those situations, if it's the same or different. So just to kick us off, Karunamaya, would you like to just introduce yourself? Just say a wee bit about who you are, where you live, etc.
Yes, well, for the last nearly 18 years, I've been spending a fair bit of time in India. And slowly we've been developing the women's ordination team. We have something in the region of at least 800 women who've requested ordination. For a while, there were...
Maybe just say that again.
At least, I mean, our statistics are not that great. At least 800. And until fairly recently, there were really only four main team members. However, we've been expanding the team, and now we have quite a large number of women who support us, about at least 20-odd. And what I'm very excited about is that in December, or maybe beginning of January, will be the public ordination. We're going to have our first ordination of women from the state of Gujarat. So this is a very significant event. There'll be some more women ordained from Maharashtra, which is where our activities are mostly based, but also some women from Gujarat. So very exciting.
Do you know how many women will be ordained on that retreat?
Approximately 20.
Gosh, fantastic.
But all being well in the next year, there may be up to 40 new Dharmacharinis in India.
Wow.
We'll come back to that, because there's lots, of course, that we could ask you about that and your work. But
yes.
I'd just maybe turn over to Nagabodhi. Do you want to just introduce yourself and maybe just say a wee bit for our listeners as to how you function as a public preceptor?
Sure. Well, I've been visiting both originally New Zealand and America since the late 80s. So my connection with those areas goes back quite a long way. And I've been visiting to those areas, you know, pretty much every year, ever since the first visit. So initially I was a president. I was asked to be president at Ariel Oak, asked to be president of the centres in New Zealand. And over time, you know, my connections with people there have built up my involvement in retreats. I think I know, when I say America, I mean the East Coast and particularly Ariel Oak. I've just had a fairly sort of strong, I'd call it a strong sense of connection with both those situations, and thanks to email, Skype and so on, it's been possible at times and when necessary to have very, very close connections with many people in those regions. My work in the sort of GFR world, I started attending the GFR retreats early on when they started in New Zealand and Australia, when Sona first started coming over as a public preceptor to run them. And I attended some of those with him. And then when he, for a long period, maybe 10 years or so, wasn't able to come to that part of the world, I ran them along with Buddhadasa. And so it goes. So that really it adds up to a retreat a year and contact in between with order members and mitras. And as for America, although as president of Arialoka, I meet up with the men who've asked for ordination on the East Coast and connect with them and obviously with the order members involved in that, I rarely manage to get to the GFR retreats. They just don't fit with my schedule. Mm. So unfortunately, it's not possible to go to America twice a year. So I hope to be able to attend some, at least occasionally.
So when you say GFR retreats, you're referring to the retreats where men who are training for ordination come together and...
Yes, forgive my shorthand. You know, we'll come together, we'll have a retreaty retreat, there'll be meditation. And you know, some retreats can have quite an intense meditative element, but usually there will be a theme. Like what is spiritual friendship? What is the order, the outward going dimension of spiritual life? And you know, on a 2-week long retreat or a 9-day long retreat, we'll meet, we'll spend time together, we'll walk, we'll talk, we'll get to know each other, we'll practice together, and we'll explore themes together, which helps people to understand the movement, to understand Sangharakshita's teachings, and to understand their own sort of burgeoning connection with the ideals represented by the three jewels.
So, Karunamaya, you're living in culturally what's quite a different situation. Mm-hmm. Well, living, you're visiting and working in India, which is very different culturally from the United States. Mm-hmm. But do you recognise what Nagabodhi's talking about? Do you feel you're doing the same work, or is it quite different? Or?
No, it's very similar. I mean, of course, there's some account made of different cultural angles on things, but in essence, it's very similar. Mm. We are looking through a number of themes which would be kind of common throughout the whole of our Tri Ratna community. Obviously, there are certain cultural issues that some of the women are faced with when they want to follow their spiritual life, but in essence it's very much the same.
Could you say a wee bit more about that? I mean, you don't need to get into loads of detail, but just, you know, we have people listening from all over the world.
Well, it can be very challenging for our Indian sisters, you know, how to balance their responsibility to the family and their commitment as a Dharmacharini. Family is very, very important. A lot of expectations of women in terms of their role in the family. You know, it can be very hard for women to get to go on retreat. Mm. At times they're dependent on permission from their husbands, or they're financially dependent on their husbands. Mm. So all of that can be very challenging.
Mm. And
it can be hard for women to be independent enough to actually travel to a retreat.
And when you listen to that, Nagabodhi, does that feel very alien to the work that you're doing, say, in America or in
well, the constraints in the States, particularly in the States, I mean, the constraints there, and I should mention I'm involved entirely in men's ordination training retreats. I mean, they have their own constraints, you know, money is a constraint. You know, times are hard over there, and I think it's probably fair to say that, you know, that very, very small population of people with whom we're working in the States, you know, pales almost, but not into insignificance set against what you're doing in India. You know, people struggle with money. The family is very important. You know, if people have a very small amount of vacation in the year, and many people I know have no more than 2 weeks of vacation time a year, and you know, the nature of America is that family takes an importance that perhaps people in England don't quite sort of know how to empathise with. So, you know, they're having to juggle a very small amount of time and quite major priorities. So, you know, that's probably more the issue in the States. In New Zealand, people, you know, have jobs, but it feels freer there. You know, it is, obviously, there are some people who can't make retreats very easily, but that's rarely something that we have to spend too much time negotiating.
So it's interesting to hear from such different cultures. So, and yet you're both here meeting with the rest of the college. Is it useful for you to come to this meeting? Either of you? Both of you?
Yes. Yeah. Again, I said there's so much that's actually common to our whole worldwide movement. Yes, I find it very stimulating and of benefit. But I'm very good to be with old friends, as you were mentioning.
And for you, Nagbode?
Well, I mean, it's personally very sort of nourishing and stimulating, which means that when I go to, let's say, in New Zealand or Australia, if I'm on a retreat, then I'm in a position to plug people in to some of the new thinking or the new developments taking place in the movement. So I've played quite a part in helping people in the Australasian area to absorb the material in the various papers that Sabuti and Banti have collaborated on. And I think whether it's doing work like that or working one-to-one, just going out for dinner with a Mitra in America or whatever, I'm a rare beast. I'm somebody who can connect them to, the life of the movement at this level, if you like. I know Banti. I occasionally bump into him or even go and see him. I hang out with people who to them might be quite legendary figures from books or talks they've heard. And somehow through me, they get a sense of just getting that little bit closer to the sort of the current at the heart of the movement.
In the chats and the other evenings, one of the themes that's been mentioned by most people, if not everybody, has been personal friendships and how important they are. So is that your experience as well? In terms of coming here and who's in the college and the links that you have with people?
Yes. Many of our friendships go back at least 30 years, so a very long time. And I don't necessarily see many of those friends perhaps from one visit to another visit, which can be 4 or 5 months. So, very important.
Oh, if only my friendships only went back 30, 35 years. Might go back 40, 45 years. But, people like Dhammadina, Manjivantra, Sankatevi. Almost everybody. I know everybody. And there's a good number of these people who I've known for 40 years and more. So that counts for a lot. And actually, like you, because our lives are what they are, even living in the same country, we don't tend to see each other between these meetings, but twice a year, meeting in this kind of way creates a real thread of continuity.
Just a couple more things for our listeners. So how important for you is teamwork in terms of where you work, in India or in the US and Australasia, and how, do you have a team that you work with, and how does that link into coming to the college, if that makes sense as a question?
I think it's the main work of what we've been doing in the last few years, I'm very pleased with the progress that's been made. I mentioned earlier that there's at least 20 women, Indian women, who are part of the support team. They're active in the two main areas in Maharashtra, plus some of them are ready to travel outside of Maharashtra. And really, since I first started regularly visiting, working in teams has been a very important part of what we've been trying to encourage. I remember on one of the early retreats, one of the Mitras, who's now a Dharmacharini, was so impressed by seeing a group of us actually working together on a retreat rather than an individual leading a retreat, which is tending to be what had happened in the past. She felt so inspired to see that happen. Well, she kind of made a resolution that's what she wanted to do once she joined the order.
Fabulous.
So it's crucial.
And you link that team in with other teams by coming here, or...?
Well, yes. Well, it's not just myself. It's also Yana Shuri, at the moment only Indian-born public preceptor. She has very strong connections of her own here as well.
Yes, she does. Yeah. She's been coming for quite a long time to England.
Yeah, yeah. And she usually comes with a suitcase full of gifts.
Yes, yeah, she
things
does.
That she's made.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's so great. Yeah. And Nagabodhi, do you have much experience of teamwork there?
Well, as I say, I don't make it to many GFR retreats in America, but there is a pretty well-established team of preceptors developing. It's small, but they're pretty good at making it to those retreats, and Dhammarati has done a great job of working with them, and it's a pleasure to join them. Mm. And when I do visit as a president, those who live on the East Coast, Viduma, Dhammarati, I connect with, and in a sense that does keep that work moving forward. Mm. Well, also Nasser Akshita, who's used to be a private preceptor. And in Australasia, we have, over the years, gradually formed what is turning now into quite a substantial and effective team. There are, I think, about 9 or 10 of us who meet every year before the main retreat to spend about a week together. Mm-hmm. And those meetings have become, and that team really is beginning to be something.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's very valuable. Interesting, because partly why I'm asking, I suppose, is just the idea of what's happening locally. That, you know, thing, it sounds like in both the situation, well, all the situations that you're both involved in, there's local growth in not only in terms of the order, but in terms of people becoming more able to support and help other people into the order. Mm-hmm. So that's very encouraging to hear. And then that's linked into other areas of the world through the fact that you come together here at this level. And
exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
That sounds really good. Did you want to add something before the end?
I was just thinking of the fact that we are really trying to make much more of the team, you know, having more time together as you know, team retreats, team meetings, team sharings, and you know, working on really deepening our practice together. And I can see that's beginning to have benefit as well.
Thank you very much, both of you. I found that very inspiring and stimulating. So just before we go, a highlight for each of you from the meeting so far, just a little vignette.
I mean, as I said before, I've been finding some of the discussions stimulating. I can't name but the specific part, but I'm really enjoying the beautiful autumn colours and going for walks with old friends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's beautiful today.
Harami, I can only say one thing. Going out for coffee with you this afternoon.
Oh dear, this is embarrassing, because virtually every day somebody's mentioned being in the Coldwell Coffee Lounge with Barney. So we're doing good publicity for them. But it's all team building and bonding
exactly,
and friendship.
Exactly.
So in the note that we opened about old friends and bookends, I'll just thank you both, old friends of mine and old friends of each other. So thanks very much for that. That's lovely.
Thank you, Barney.